The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
How about you? Amen. Well, good to see everybody here. It's really good to see Fran and Tommy. We miss them. So glad they're back. People are starting to break out. You know, so we have a great breakout. If COVID won't leave, we'll just get. Oops, I got this on. Yeah, so I'm sorry. That's better. I hate these things. Okay, now, is that better?
Yes.
That's better, okay. It's only because it's muffled. My voice is bad enough without speaking through a mask. So, hallelujah. It's good to see you. Let's get to stand and we'll pray and we'll get started. Today is the first Sunday of the month, so we'll have communion after finished preaching. And that's it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the precious name of Jesus for your great love towards us. We're thankful that you are present with us in this place. Thank you, Lord, that the whole world may be in turmoil, but you are never shaken. And your word is never shaken. And you are never worried, and you are never upset. And you said in the scriptures that as you are, so are we in this world. So we're not worried and we're not shaken. We're filled with faith and hope for this day. For this is the day that you've given to us. Tomorrow's just a faint hope, but today is the reality, and here we are. We love you, Lord. We praise you and we bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Brother Ronald, there she is.
Our hands, He will lift us up from that praise.
praise, church. Hallelujah. Praises rising, eyes are turning to you. Return to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. Yes, we do. We long for you. When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away.
Hosanna, Hosanna.
Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Let's lift up his name, Jesus. Come on, lift up his name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Jesus, all our hope is in you, Lord Jesus. Yes, it is.
I'm He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. He's a faithful God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that we can always lean on you, turn to you, and look to you.
Stop working, even when I don't see it, you're working.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never stop working. Never stop, never stop working.
Hospital with COVID and his wife at home with COVID. Lord, and so many others in the president's inner circle with COVID. Lord, I just pray for miracles. Take this curse that came in from China and remove it from these people, Lord. I pray that the president would feel a surge of power enter into him and that he would know that it was you that healed him. And that every trace of this COVID would be gone out of his body and his wife's body. Lord, we speak those things that are not as if they were. For in you all things are possible. Lord, heal him. Lift him up, Lord Jesus, encourage him. Lord, I just pray that your divine will would be accomplished and be worked through his life. Thank you for his dedication to Israel and the peace of Israel. Thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful things that he is doing. And I know he wants to continue to do, Lord, and we want him to continue to do those things. Lord, bless our nation. Deliver us from the hand of the evil one who desires to destroy us, who desires to tear down this bastion of freedom for the whole world. And Lord, let your light shine brightly through us, through this nation, around the world, that the world might know that there is a God and that his name is Jesus. Let it be done, Father. Let it be done. Oh God, we believe you. We trust you, Lord, to do that. You said if we would ask, Lord, on behalf of our nation, we ask. I know there are churches all around this city, in this state, in this country, as they have their Sunday morning services, are praying for our president and his wife. Lift him up, Lord Jesus. Lift him up. Let the curse be gone. Let your power be seen. Let a revival break forth in our nation. That everyone would know that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We believe it, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray together. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. And I said, you have not because you ask not. You know? So we're asking. We're believing and trusting for our nation and this election that's coming up. Tomorrow, if you haven't done so, tomorrow is the last day for you to be able to register to vote. If you haven't registered to vote, please, please, I implore you, go tomorrow and get registered. Get that done. I think you need to just go to the Towers building. Probably that's the place to go. Get registered and then vote. And when you vote, vote righteousness, okay? Vote for the children, the unborn. Vote for the families. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. That's your decision. But I think you can figure that out. Don't forget to vote for the First Amendment that's coming up, which is for life. What that amendment does, it says that if and when the Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade, that all the laws that we have in Louisiana will automatically kick in to protect the unborn, so abortion will be illegal here in here. That'll be a great day. Oh, another thing is at the end of, at 2 o'clock, I believe it is. Is it 2 o'clock, Matt? There'll be the Right for Life March on Gauze Boulevard. So go out there. There'll be a lot of folks. There'll be somebody handing out signs. There always is. I'm not quite sure. They just kind of mysteriously appear. And we will meet in front of the hospital. So the beginning church will meet there in front of the hospital. Right? So do that. Skip a meal and come skipping with us down Gauze Boulevard, right? Yes, ma'am.
It's not a march. It's actually the life chain.
A chain. So
you stay stationary.
It's not a march. I'm sorry about that. You can march to the chain. Okay.
Peaceful protest.
All right. Peaceful protest. So far, peaceful. Yes, ma'am. Do you want to say something? No, okay. People, saw some hands waving. So, but anyway, that's an important thing to do. It's really kind of fun. You get a lot of horns blown at you, and people wave at you, and then there's a few that won't love you, but they won't shoot at you or anything. So, it'll be a friendly. You know. And if it is, I'm sure there are enough people out there with guns. Let's not go there. I don't want to go there. That's not even on our venue. What we're gonna do is go have a peaceful stand-in chain to let our community know and to remind them that abortion is still in our nation and it needs to be removed, and that's what it's all about. Okay? Okay. Miss Pat's holding up a sign. Okay. We had a great prayer time for Bob Riles at his house Friday night. I know many of you are aware of that. We had a good crowd that showed up. It was an amazing time of prayer. We were out there for about an hour and a half or so, I guess. And we just believed for Bob and Denise and Annie to be healed. Annie did have her third brain surgery this week, and she's recovering. I understand she'll probably be going home maybe about tomorrow or the next day. So she wants to get back home and hold her baby, her brand new baby, okay? So we prayed for them, and that was great. Continue to pray for those who are sick and need a touch from God. Okay? Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night, there'll be prayer right here. I encourage you to come. You'll be sorry if you didn't come and the election didn't turn out the way you want it. You said, oh, I should have prayed. Well, come here and pray. We're keeping our social distancing from each other, but we're getting really, really, really close to God. Okay, that's the whole purpose of it. And I know you got important things to do. It's Wednesday night, and you want to sit in front of your TV and relax and rest. You've been tired. You're working. You can rest when you die. This is a time to, right. This is a time to be working. And I don't like coming out on Wednesday night any more than you do. But trust me, the gathering has been amazing. It's been good. So I want you to come. 7 o'clock. For those who are on time, for the rest of you, it's about 7:10. Well, actually, you know, 7 o'clock. But we quit at 8 o'clock, right? Just around 8 o'clock. So it's just for an hour of prayer. The Band of Brothers, the men's ministry, will meet next Saturday here. We have leftover food from last time, I believe, still in the freezer. So we can defrost that and have some food and fellowship. And we're going to try something. I'm not sure it's going to work. But the gun show happens to be Saturday. Some of the guys said that they'd like to go. I'm going to go, but if it looks too close and, you know, unsafe, I'm not going to stay. So we'll go and check it out, and if that doesn't work, we'll go someplace and get a cup of coffee or do something. So that's the upcoming events. I don't think there's anything else on the agenda that I need to tell you about. Oh, there's something you need to think about. Ms. Poppy brought it up. Our annual Pastor Appreciation Day and celebrate the anniversary of the church. We're not going to have a big deal like we usually do, but we'll probably have something here at church after Sunday morning service, be my guess. It's just not the time to do that. It'll be in October sometime, I don't know when. Yeah, we'll give you the date. It'll be towards the end of October. Most people are canceling all of their big affairs. I know the First Pentecostal told me that they usually have a big Easter play, not Easter, Christmas play. They're not going to have that this year. So it's the times we're living in. Unless God intercedes and this virus disappears, we're going to have to just deal with it for the time being. Be safe. I'd rather be safe than sorry. Amen? Yes, amen. Okay. We're going to continue. Yes?
May I just say one thing?
Yes, you can. Maybe, if I can get a microphone to you. It's a little difficult with the broadcasting, but we'll give it a try.
I just wanted to say about prayer. I have this video, used to have this video about it, and some people really don't understand about prayer, but when you pray for somebody, there's physical changes that go on. Blood pressure, if you draw lab work, there's changes in the blood. Huh? Your whole body can change, or parts of it. And it's not just the person that's prayed for, it's you too. So come out, give yourself a boost.
Amen. Okay, good. I didn't know that. Okay. So we're in the book of Revelation, and we started with the seven churches in the book of Revelation, and we got finished with that. And then since that was the beginning of the book, we decided to go to the end of the book. So we're talking about some things in the latter days. We spoke about judgment of evil, Babylon. We talked about that. We talked about love and marriage and the marriage of the Lamb to the bride, the church. And today we're going to address the issue of the... No, we're not either. My notes are wrong. But I know what we're doing. We're talking about Jesus as Lord and King. All right? So there it is. The final act, and this is the third act. I don't know how I got my finger on the wrong key here, but I did. Okay. So anyway, let's look at the scripture for today. Revelation 19:16. And on his robe and on his thigh, he had the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I love that. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we study your word, we pray that you would speak to us, that we might hear what it is that you want to say to us, and that what you want to say to us would take root within our spirit and in our lives, and that we would live and move and have our being in you, following your divine plans for our lives. And this we pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Amen. Jesus is crowned by his Father and given the name that's above every other name. And that's the names over the heavens and the earth. In fact, it says that Jesus created everything. He created the visible, the invisible, the everything that's in the heavens, everything that's on the earth, whether there be thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, He created all those things, and all those things are held together by Him. I know many times we don't realize that. We think of creation by God the Father, but remember that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all together in the triune God, and that in Colossians it says that He created all things, and they were created by Him and for Him. All right? So He has this name and this power and this authority that covers the whole earth. Now, He's the only one worthy to be bowed to. He's the only one. And I know we don't, there's a story that was told many years ago. The Queen of England was coming to America, and she was going out on the West Coast, California, and they had a news reporter, man on the street, asking questions. You know, they do that all the time. And he talked to this one guy. He said, when the Queen gets here, do you think that you should bow to her and that your wife should curtsy to her? And he said, buddy, I think we settled all that mess about 200 years ago. You know? So we don't bow to anyone, but that's their examples. The three Hebrew children in the book of Daniel, they refused to bow to the golden image. They said, we won't bow to anybody but to God. And Esther, Mordecai, refused to bow to Haman, who was a government official. Satan wanted Jesus to bow to him. And Jesus, of course, refused to do that. Peter and Paul refused to let men bow to them when they were doing all these wonderful things and people wanted to bow to them. And finally, in the book of Revelation, when John tried to bow to the angels, he said, no, you can't bow to us. The only person worthy to receive the reverence of the bowing, the bending our knees, is the Lord Jesus Himself. So we reserve that for Him and Him alone. So what we want to talk about today is why is Jesus worthy to be called Lord and King? All right? And the first thing is, Jesus is Lord over His church. Revelation 1, 18 through 20. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars, which is on my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and he experienced his vision of Jesus standing in the center of the church. In our study today, we're going to separate the roles of Jesus as Lord and Jesus as King. See, Jesus is Lord over the church. He's King over His enemies in the world. See, he's the Lord of the church, but He's a King over His enemies in the world. These terms tend to be used interchangeably. We do that all the time. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with it, but when you study the scriptures in a little bit more depth, you see that that's not true. The book of Romans says that we confess Jesus as Lord to enter into the church. We don't confess that Jesus is King. We confess that Jesus is Lord, and we enter into the church. Jesus holds in His hands the leaders of the church. He is the Lord of Lords. The leaders are responsible in the church, pastors primarily, and must give an account of how they, this is a word we don't like to hear, but when you talk about lordship, it's the only way to say it, is the way that they rule. You know, the way that they carry out the laws of the kingdom of God, the leaders of the church are responsible for that. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. So we see that the He's the Lord over the church. He holds the leaders in his hand, and I am responsible to him. That's why I'm very, very careful about what I say and don't say as a pastor. It's important for you to have confidence that what I say is humanly possible, as true as I can discern it. There are things sometimes I'll say something and that's not quite right. Usually my sermon checker, that would be Pat, will say, you know, you said that, and you know, that wasn't quite right, or maybe you should think, and I'll go back and look through it, and if I find that she's correct, which she is most of the time, then I'll come back and correct it. In fact, I said something last week, and she said, I used the term Hades, hell, in the Abraham's bosom is all being the same thing. And she said they're different. I said, no, I'm not so sure that they're different. So I went and studied and looked, and I found that the theologians are just as confused about that as I am. But I think we'd be safe to say, and I'm backing up to something I said last week just to prove a point, that the place of the dead is primarily Hades, okay? And that's where, within Hades is Abraham's bosom and hell itself. Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ prior to his resurrection would go to Abraham's bosom. Those who were unbelievers went to Hades or hell, okay? And there's a big gulf between those two. You remember the story about Lazarus and the rich man? So there's no crossing over from one to the other. You don't want to be in Hades because it says that the guy that was there was dying of thirst, and it was a torment, and it was terrible. So when the final books are open and the final judgment is done, we will all enter into the New Jerusalem, those who are believers, and the unbelievers will go into the lake of fire, which is different than Hades or hell. So I'm getting away from what my subject for today, but you know, occasionally I'll say something, but it's usually a minor thing. Those of you who get my newsletter discovered that I made another mistake. It must be my week to make mistakes. I said that the United States Congress authorized the American Standard Version of the Bible is the official Bible of the United States. That was incorrect. It's the Atkins. You see, most of you have never heard of that. I didn't hear of it either until I looked it up. It's the Atkins Authorized Version. And the reason that we have that is in the late 1700s, England forbid the United States to print Bibles so they could sell the KJVs over here. And when we signed the Declaration of Independence, they stopped shipping Bibles over here. So we needed a Bible. Congress got together, found this guy Atkins, who had an English version translated from Hebrew and from Greek. And that was the only version of the Bible that was ever voted on and authorized by Congress for the American people. And that's the Atkins Authorized Version. I wish I had a copy of it today. The last copy that was sold for somewhere around $58,000. So I wish I had one, but I don't have one, and they're as rare as the proverbial chicken's teeth. And I don't know why I went through all of that, other than to say that, the pastors have a responsibility to give you the truth as best as we possibly can, and to watch over you and guard over you. Jesus' role as Lord is different from his role as King. Let me see here. Okay, yeah, here we go. Let's go back to Revelation 1:13 through 16. Among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held the seven stars. That's the pastors, the church. And coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all of its brilliance. This is a detailed description of Jesus' role as Lord. It's a non-threatening dress. Let me back it up here so you can see. Someone like the sun man dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. This is not a guy going to war. This is a guy demonstrating his royalty. He's non-threatening. In fact, it's inviting. He's filled with wisdom. The white hair is it's a synonym used in the book of Revelation to describe wisdom. So Jesus as Lord has great wisdom. If we didn't need anything in this world, we need wisdom. Y'all who saw the movie The Shack, there was a great scene in the movie, and it's in the book too, where the main character meets up with wisdom in a cave. And this wisdom is the wisdom of God, is portrayed as a character. And it was very interesting, the interaction that they had. But we need wisdom. We need to know what to do and what not to do. And to how to understand and to discern. And that's why we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit to help us with those things. But there's a picture here of the wisdom of God. He's watching with blazing, his hair is white like wool, it's white as snow. His eyes, we'll go to the next one, are like blazing fire. Fire purifies. And so he sees the truth for what it is. He knows the beginning from the end. And we can go to him and he can give us directions and instructions about things we need to do. His feet are bronze. It shows that he's stable. Our world is shaking like a baby's rattle. I mean, Bobby, I guess, this morning. I said, just when you thought it was safe to go in the water, the president ends up with COVID. Give me a break. Use the words of Joe Biden. Come on, man. What is going on here? And Melania, cabinet members and senators are getting COVID. Where is this going? Trump is the Energizer Bunny. He's running all over the nation, having these rallies. And now he's stuck in the hospital. You gotta wonder about that. But this world is unstable. But we can trust in the Lord. That's what we do. Trust in the Lord. I love that scripture from Proverbs. Says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. And to do what? In your own understanding. And then what do you do? All you acknowledge him. And what will happen? He'll direct your path. That's why we go to God. That's why he's the Lord of Lords. That's why we go to him. When we don't know what to do, we go to him. When we don't trust what we see, we can trust his heart. We know that he is working on our behalf day and night. When we don't see what's going on, as that song said, we know we can trust in him. So he is stable. Everything is shaking but him. There was an illustration I heard one time where if you got a room and you made it completely dark and you put a chair in the middle that was on wheels and you were sitting in that chair and you got up and you moved it, just accidentally, you'd have to try to find it again. And if you find it, you wouldn't be sure where you were in the room any longer because it had moved. And that's the way the world is. It's moving. It's constant. It's like the seas that are constantly moving. But in Christ, that chair, that throne, if you will, is screwed into eternity. And it's not moving. And we can go there with great confidence that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he said, he doesn't change his mind. I changed my mind because I'm a frail human man with a mind that doesn't always process the information correctly. But in God, we can trust him. That's why we teach his word. We study his word. We go to His Word. It's never changing. It's been around for a long time. And we can trust this Word of God. In fact, it says in the book of John, the first chapter, it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And it says that the apostle said, we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So if you don't know what's going on, when you have trouble in your life, you got sickness, you got people who are hurt. Nick told me this morning, a good friend of his, son was killed in an automobile accident. A young man about to graduate from college. You know, how do you deal with that? You know, what do you say? Well, we don't know what to say. Is it in our humanity, we can't. But in Christ, He will give us the right words to say and the right things to do. I told Nick that the best thing to do is, you know, to say, just go. Just be there. Let your presence speak volumes. In fact, we train our chaplains who work for the coroner's office that when you go to these terrible situations where there's suicide or drug overdose or murder or horrific accidents or whatever goes on, just your presence helps people. You show up with a badge that says chaplain, and it's a world understood office in our society that a chaplain is a person of who's talking for God, and you go as a spokesman for God. So just your presence does things. So as believers, we have a like a chaplain's badge on us. We speak the Word of God in truth and stability. He gives us instructions. He says His voice is like many waters. That means He's got a lot to say, and it's good, and it's what we need. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty dumb a lot of times. And I don't know what to do. You know, I'll stand at a fork in the road, and Yogi Bear said, when you come to a fork in the road, pick it up. Well, when you can't pick it up, you know, you're standing there, and where do I go? What do I do? That's the times that you go to God in prayer. You say, Lord, I need you. And if you can't get 100% sure feeling about what to do, if you can, do nothing. But if you must do something, say, Lord, I'm going this way, and if this isn't the right way, yank me by my collar and pull me where I need to be. And I believe that when we do that, even when we go down the road that's not the best of roads, God has a way of ushering us back to where He wants us to go. So He gives us protection. His right hand, He held the seven stars. God is holding us. I believe, and you may not believe this, but it's just what I believe. I believe as long as I'm doing what God called me to do, I don't need to worry about dying. When I've said the last word I'm supposed to say and gone to the last place I'm supposed to go, just come to the funeral because it's all over. Wrap me up, put me in a crocus sack, throw me in a lake, do something, but it's all over for me. I'm done. And as long as we're doing what God wants us to do, then I believe we're safe in His hands. And if we have people who die quite unexpectedly or working in the kingdom, and we think, what a great loss. It's not a great loss. Nobody leaves this place without God knowing they're leaving. You know, He's in control of all of that. He protects us. He teaches and protects us. This vision of a double-edged sword, you know, when coming out of His mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. Something that comes out of your mouth is words, but it's depicted as a sword. And a sword does work. You know, it can protect, but it can attack. You know, it can do both things. And the words of God can be soothing, or they can stop a demon in his tracks. All right? That's what the Word of God from Christ allows us to do. His face is shining. It's illuminated. He brings light into every situation. It says that when Jesus came, that He was in Him was life, and that life was the light of the world. He said, even though the world was created by Him, when He came into the world didn't recognize Him. And He came into His own did not receive Him. But we have been given the light. He says that we are now the light of the world. Christ in us, when we walk into a place, we illuminate it with his presence. We drive the darkness out. Demons run and flee from you. You know, people are afraid of demons. I've had some encounters with demons, and it's not a fun thing to do. But they're more afraid of you than you are of them. Should be. You know, you have the power to stop them. They don't have the power to stop you. They can make a lot of noise and do a lot of hooping and hollering, but you can holler louder. You know, you have the authority to stop and say, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, you foul demon, get out of here and go to your own dry, uninhabited places. Amen. That's the power that you have to pierce the darkness and run the enemies out. So that's who Jesus is as Lord. He's at work in the church. For the unbeliever, if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what you got? Nothing. All you got is a promise of an eternity of suffering. So, but if you're a believer, if you've confessed that Jesus is Lord, and you believe that in your heart, you are born again. You have the righteousness of God. You are a warrior for Christ. You're an ambassador for God. And these are the things that we are in Christ. And we can do many things that a natural man can't do, or a natural woman can't do. But in Christ, we can do many things because he empowers us to do that. But that's the lordship. That's in the church. Sometimes people malign the church. Say, well, I don't believe in the church. I believe in serving God at home. Well, you can serve him at home, but for me, I'm serving him in the church. I want to be where the people of God are. We need to... Somebody just told a story. I just heard this. I don't remember where I heard it. I know who it was. It was Grace Ziegler told a story about the... You know, they work in Africa, obviously. Some lions were attacking elephants at night. And elephants can't see well at night, but lions can. And they were attacking them and said, a young lion, they're looking for a young elephant, they're looking for the weakest and the sickest, and those are the ones they attack. And they were attacking this one young elephant. And the adult elephants, although they couldn't see well, got in a circle around that baby elephant, facing out with their rear ends towards you understand what I'm saying? And they were able to ward off those lions. They were able to do it, even though they couldn't see well. Sometimes when you can't see, when you get all of us together, we can put ourselves with our backs facing each other's backs, and we can just take our sword and just flail it out there in front of us, you know? No telling what kind of demonic forces we can stop and make a difference. Does that make sense to you? That's why it says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as that day approaches that we're to assemble together. We need each other. Okay. So that's God, Jesus' lordship. Now I want to talk about his kingship. Jesus is king over his enemies. Revelation 19, 11 through 16. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth, a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's our God. That's the God that we serve. There's a vast difference between this picture of Lord and this picture of King. This is a fierce warrior. A fierce warrior. He's mounted on a white horse. We don't think much about horses unless you go to ride a carousel and ride on a little plastic horse. That's the only kind of horse I like. You know, those of you who like to ride on a horse like Roy Rogers, you know, you're brave people. That's not me. But in those days, if you had a horse, those horses were trained for battle. I've read that some of the Roman horses that were trained, they could jump up and kick all 4 feet out and if they were being surrounded to try to keep the enemies away from the guy who was riding them. They have great ability. If you've ever been down in New Orleans in a crowd and those policemen come by on a horse, you will move. There's something scary about a giant horse just standing up there and that cop, you know, spurring him through there. My uncle, rest his soul, was a policeman in New Orleans for many years, and he had a white horse, and he rode the horse in every parade and every event they had down in New Orleans. And I saw that horse many times, and it was a big horse. And so horse speaks of power and authority, the ability to rule and to make war. He was mounted, and it's white. Talks about the purity of the cause of God. Men war for all the wrong reasons. When Jesus wars, it's for all the right reasons. Okay? His strength is in his horse, his purity, and his cause. The cause of Jesus as a warrior is just. He's faithful and true. As he promised, he will defend and deliver those who are in trouble from their enemies. Rejoice not over me, O my enemies. Though I stumble and fall, I shall arise. The reason we arise is Jesus shows up and picks us up and throws us on the back of his horse and gets us out of trouble. You know, we ride double out of trouble. That's our God. That's who he is. He's watching over us and searching for us. He brings justice and judges evil. This evil world will receive the recompense that it deserves for what it's done to the creation of God. Now, I know the tree huggers are worried about the trees. I'm not so worried about the trees. I am about the people. Yeah. God so loved the people of the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yeah. God cares about people. He doesn't want anyone to perish. That's why he gave us a mandate. He said, go into the whole world, teaching them everything I've taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's our job. And why do we do our job? Because it's what God wants done so that people will not perish. You know, there's a lot of people in this world I don't like. There's a bunch. I mean, I give you a litany of names, and probably you'd find some names on there that you'd recognize. But I don't want anybody to end up in a sinner's hell. I really don't. I wish that all these knuckleheads would get saved. You know, get changed so that they could be in the church under the lordship of Jesus, be in the church under the kingship of Jesus, and let the enemies of God be scattered. But God is going to take care of that. Even today, we see a lot of things happening, and you know that you know, just vex our soul. You know, things with abortion and all the other craziness, Antifa, and just, you know, the things that we as Americans just detest, that'll be taken care of one day. I promise you, it's not going to be a pretty picture. We won't be there, by the way. Amen. When that judgment takes place, we're going to be inside the house.
Amen.
All right? We're going to be where all the mansions are. Amen. We'll be in the New Jerusalem. We'll be laughing and dancing and having a ball. But for the unbelievers, their recompense will come because the King of Kings will take care of it at that time. So, justice will take place. The beast, the prophets, and boy, I've told you this many times before, but I don't mind saying it again. I can't wait to hear the news. I'm sure there's going to be an angel from heaven that's going to come running into the New Jerusalem and say, death has been thrown into the lake of fire, and I am going to shout glory, glory, glory. I hate death and dying. I hate what it does to people. I hate the pain. I've done so many funerals, it breaks my heart every time I have to do a funeral for the pain that's there. And the only hope against death is if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the hope is that you'll be with him forever and ever. It's horrible. It's horrible. We've all faced it. We've all had to deal with it. We've lost children. We've lost husbands and wives and brothers and sisters and friends. And, you know, it vexes our very soul. Paul said, we don't mourn as those who have no hope. We don't mourn as those who have no hope. The church doesn't mourn as those who have no hope. For we know that those who have gone on before us, we shall see them again. That's a promise of God. You will see them again. That's a promise from God. For the unbeliever, that's not true. He's king over all the kings. He has absolute authority. It says he has many crowns. He has many crowns. Somebody might lift himself up as being powerful in this world. They're going to find out how weak they really are when they run into the King of Kings. I'll tell you, that'd be an awesome sight to see Jesus on that horse, dressed for battle with his sword. It's going to be an awesome sight. Jesus speaks of the past when he defeated evil. He defeated evil at the cross. That took place already. Colossians says that he has disarmed the powers and authorities. He disarmed them, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them at the cross. At the cross is where evil was defeated. Sin was defeated. Now, we still have the remnants of it running around. It's not over yet, but that's the war was won then. It's kind of like, you know, we've had all of us in the room old enough to remember this. Not that many years ago, they found Japanese soldiers in the Pacific still fighting the war. They didn't know that the war was over. And a lot of demons don't know that the war's over. They're still fighting. They're still causing us trouble. But the war is over because Jesus won the victory at the cross. He speaks of the future, and that the future is when evil will be cast into the lake of fire, when the final judgment will take place. So that's another aspect of what Jesus shows us in his regal attire. He's a picture of a conquering hero. The victors in that day used to inscribe on their garments and on the hilt of their sword the names of themselves or a place that they captured. That was a kind of a showing off, if you will, that they had won. And Jesus has his names on him, and it says only he knows those names. You know, I'm sure it's a long list of those that he was victorious over. His flowing garments and his hilt of his sword is visible, and we see what was written on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is just the opposite of the other clothes that he wore. He wore swaddling clothes in the manger at his birth. He wore mocking clothes at his trial when they dressed him in purple and mocked him. He was without clothing at his crucifixion. And he had grave clothes when they laid him in the grave. But he has been victorious over all of these things. Is that old song we sing at Easter? Up from the graves he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives in heaven with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose. That's our King. That's our Lord. The following Jesus are the redeemed. This is his armies. Where is it in there? He will rule with the, on his robe. Okay, is it down this way a little bit? No. Oh, yeah, let me show you this. Okay. His robe, he's in a blood-drenched robe. And I always thought that was his shed blood. Well, the scriptures shed light on that. Isaiah 63, 2 through 4. Why are your clothes so red as if you have been treading out grapes? And it says, I have been treading the winepress alone. No one was there to help me. In my anger, I have trampled my enemies as if they were grapes. In my fury, I have trampled my foes. Their blood has stained my clothes. For the time has come for me to avenge my people, to ransom them from the oppressor. That's the blood of his enemies on him. Our victory is in Jesus Christ. In the army of the redeemed following, we're dressed in white purity, riding on white horses. I don't know how that's going to happen. He's going to have a hard time getting me on a horse. But anyway, the big thing to notice is that we're not in the fight. We're fighting here. But that final victory is his and his alone. And he does it. We don't have to pull out our swords to fight, because he'll pull out his sword to fight, and he'll take care of it all at one time. Jesus gives us the victory. We were never in the fight anyway. We couldn't even save ourselves. We had to be rescued from sin and peril of this world and from death itself. And Jesus did that for us. We will never pass into judgment. He was judged so that we don't have to be judged. And Jesus did it all. He did it all, folks. He's still doing it all. All he asks us to do is believe in him and tell others so that they may believe in him. That's our number one priority. It's fun to go to church. It's fun to have sermons. It's fun to sing songs of Zion. That's not our job. That's just some window dressing. Our job is to bring hope to a lost and a dying world so that they can rejoice with us. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Amen, amen. Let's all stand. Next week, God willing, we'll talk about Jesus rescuing the believers, all right? The rescue of the believers. That'll take place next week. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your role. We thank you for Jesus, our Lord and our King. Thank you that we live under the shelter of his arm, that is his banner that flies over us. It's his table that is prepared before us in the presence of our enemies. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done, what you have done, and what you will do in our lives because we placed our trust in you. We have cried out, Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. No other name given under heaven by which men must be saved. Father, we confess that Jesus is Lord. We have been redeemed. We have been washed in the blood. Our sins have been forgiven. We've been made new creations in Christ Jesus. And Father, we're eternally thankful for what you have done for us. We bless your name. We worship you. And we thank you, Father. And we all said, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining in with us today on Facebook and on the internet. And we hope to see you next week. God bless you.